Tom.
Hey, Amanda.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Between seasons, I've been staying home watching TGIF. But how about you?
Okay, so what year lineup are you in? Because I'm currently in the Family Matters Full House Sabrina the Teenage Witch. What year are you in?
I am back in the early 90s where there's this brand new show right after Full House called Family Matters. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of Perfect Strangers. Is it anything like that?
Just like it. It's a spinoff and it's starring Jaleel White.
Oh, are we talking about Family Matters?
We are, and that's today.
Can we talk about?
Yeah, we're back. Almost back. My brain's not fully back, but we're back for a reason.
We are back for a reason because this is the inaugural 420. Annual? Not really inaugural. Sorry.
Annual
420 episode.
Yay.
Which, if you listened to it last year, we talked about stoner movies. And
yeah. Does that sound like a valid topic? That makes sense.
Yeah, well. We talked about stoner movies for about 15 minutes before the real hard-hitting issues of today's youth of America hit, and that is the injustice of Carl Winslow and Family Matters.
Yes.
The hill, the Roman Empire hill Tommy is willing to die on.
Yeah. You know what's funnier is after the fact we did that episode and I went on my tangent about Family Matters. I guess a lot of people didn't know that story or these stories about how this all happened.
Every time we tell the story of the way that episode went for the two of us and we explain to them the injustice and then you show them, it's like a delight in my life. You show them the original poster.
Yeah.
Where the family's so tiny in the background and Urkel's huge in the front. Their faces, it just, we've sucked everybody in. It's become a thing.
Just to add to this too, you talk about like the music, right? I just want to like throw this out there. The theme song was originally What a Wonderful World.
What?
Yeah. For like the first couple episodes, I think it was like the first like two or three episodes, maybe even four. That was the theme song.
This is awful because I rewatched the first six episodes last night. Could not tell you that.
Oh, but the thing is, like, in syndication after the fact.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. And so, ironically enough, like, you know, the show is finding itself because for the, and here it was the first five episodes had Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World as the theme song. And then starting with the next episode, it was As Days Go By, which is funny because I'm pretty sure it was like about episode six.
Okay.
Is when we get introduced to...
Well, that's why I watched the first six. I think it's episode six, but I watched it. I was like, I just got to watch it until Urkel shows up. And I've got to see. I needed to see
what the
because
show
it was about to be canceled, right? Like, this is the information you gave to us before your brain melted.
It was still early. And you remember, like, especially back then, like, everything was on film. And so, like, turning around an episode took some months. So they had some in the can, which also explains something else here I'll get to. But. You know, there was a buffer between when they were filming and when these were airing. But yeah, the initial first episodes weren't great.
Wait. This is another thing that you blew my mind telling us. Yeah. I don't remember if you told us in. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't remember much of that episode. Okay.
And I don't remember either.
I don't remember shit. It's a spinoff of what series?
Oh, Perfect Strangers.
Blew my mind.
Okay, but this is the best part, right? Because I'm going to go down a brief rabbit hole of the history of Family Matters when we have to start. Back in the 80s, right? And actually, to point this out, for anyone that doesn't know Perfect Strangers, it stars Bronson Pinchot and Mark Lynn Baker. They are the main two characters. It's a little fish out of water. Bronson Pinchot is an immigrant from another country, and he comes over from Meepos, by the way, from Meepos, where he herded sheep. And then he came over to America to live with his cousin Larry, who lives in Chicago and works at the Chicago Tribune. That entire show, the development of that, and it just goes to show you, you know, think of America in the 80s. And this producer was like pitching to all the networks, like, I have an idea for a show. It's about an immigrant that comes to America. And every network was like, get out of our office. And then and then Bronson Pinchot was in the movie Beverly Hills Cop. Did you ever see Beverly Hills Cop?
Of course I have.
Okay. And then Bronson Pinchot's in there and he works at the art gallery and he's like sort of flamboyant. He has this like cool, like this interesting accent and audiences. And this is going to become a like a running theme. Audiences were like, oh, we love it. Oh, this is fantastic. And then they're like, all right, but what if we do that show about the immigrant, but it's Bronson Pinchot? And they're like, that's a great idea. So they put that show together.
I'm sensing a trend.
Yes. It's going to get better. And they put that show together with Bronson Pinchot and Louis Anderson. And they film a pilot. And if you didn't no one remembers who Louis Anderson was. I mean, our generation definitely does. The Xenials, especially because you had Life with Louis on the cartoon on Fox. But it's Louis Anderson, and who's like his own, he's not the straight man, because he's got his own like persona, and like he's a comic. And so
yeah,
the pilot didn't do well. They had like no chemistry. The network was ready to like wash their hands of this. And then they brought in Mark Lynn Baker, who was on an episode of Moonlighting, and they were like, oh, we love this. This guy's great. And then that turned into him getting this second lead in Perfect Strangers. Okay, now you flash forward. Perfect Strangers, big hit for ABC. I grew up watching it. It's fantastic. All that stuff's great. Well, then they have like this little like comic relief-esque kind of person who like is the elevator operator at the Chicago Tribune, which is Harriet. Harriet is the elevator operator. Quirky, fun, you know, just telling it like it is, you know, Chicago blue collar elevator operator worker. Elevators used to have operators. This is how dated this all feels.
I really romanticize that.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to get into because you know me. When I get out of an Uber, I'm invited to their kid's wedding. Like, I'm that person. But, like, I would love to have a friend, like, where our studio is, I kind of wish I had an elevator. And I wish that there was an elevator operator and he was my friend.
You know, it's first off, no one takes the elevator at our office, but
I will say there is an elevator. I didn't even
there is an elevator.
Oh, that's right. We take it to the roof. We've taken it to the roof.
But I'll throw this out there too. To me, it's like when we live in New York, we go to Jersey a lot. It's like when you go to Jersey and someone has to pump your gas for you.
Oh God, what a luxury. Oh, right. I feel so rich.
I feel like I'm driving up in my like Aston Martin being like, yes, fill her up. Fill her up, please.
Cost is no object here, sir.
Yes.
There's $2 in it for you if you tap it off.
That would be what it's like having an elevator. Imagine like New Jersey's like, hey, also like someone has to pump your gas for you. Also, someone has to
hit your elevator buttons. I know. I just really romanticize the time. Like all of the 90s, 80s and 90s. If you were in a fancy like business building, right? Or you were rich in a New York City apartment, you had a doorman and an elevator.
Yes. This is what movies and TV shows taught us as kids. Yes.
And like, I've never experienced either. And I just want them so badly.
I don't, my brain can't afford the fantasy.
Do you know what? You're right. Because I tip everyone and everything. I would feel the need to tip the elevator person every single time we went up or down.
I mean,
I'd be so broke. I'm already so broke.
I live in an apartment building in New York City, and I have like a maintenance person, or you know, whatever you want to call him. And I don't even like when he holds the door for me. I'm like, you don't have to serve me. I don't like feeling served.
Okay, this is such a tangent, but we haven't been.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is my fun podcasting time. And did your wife tell you what happened? I had a. This is going to sound real 2024 modern relationship, but I had a sleepover with Tom and his wife at their apartment after a ball.
Yeah.
5 a.m. woke up, still very high, slightly intoxicated. 5 a.m. wake up. I have to go work my adult job. I leave with all of my things, still have fake eyelashes on, like just the whole night's makeup. Go downstairs. I get out. Not the floor you exit on of your apartment building. Get back in the elevator, slightly embarrassed. Somebody gets in with me. I say, I'll just go to the floor this gentleman's going to. He looks like he's going to exit the building. Yeah. No, we're now in the parking garage. So I go up a floor. I'm like, maybe I've overshot the landing. I walk out. Beautiful pool you have in there, by the way. Go back to the floor that I originally went to. And there's a very nice gentleman saying, are you lost?
Yeah.
I was like, Yes. How the fuck do I get out of this place? Because my Uber's about to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just told your wife that story Tuesday, and that happened about 3 weeks ago, because I've been so embarrassed about it. And I'm like, I really hope there's like a security camera that can watch me do it, because I know you would be like, we got to watch this again.
You just took a tour of our building.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a pool. It's now, wonderful.
If you had an elevator operator, Tom, yeah. This never would have happened.
Would have happened. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you get, life gives you an adventure because of those situations. See, if you wouldn't have gone on that beautiful adventure had you had an elevator operator.
But the most embarrassing part is that gentleman that asked if I was lost saw me three times.
Yeah.
Three times he saw me.
Well, the whole like not wanting to be served thing too, I'll double down and say, yeah, we all went out to dinner a couple of weeks ago, and I don't like when people serve me, and when someone has to come over, and like, I feel like it's that thing where it's actually anxiety. I didn't know that the whole time. Yeah. Like where the guys, like the waiter's coming over, and every time that
there was like a group of five, and they just like enveloped the table, and we're taking our plates and stuff out, and we are like, no, let us grab that for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to grab that. We got this.
I'm stacking plates. But every time that man came over, I would say, thank you.
Me too.
Over and over again, but like to the point where I'm like, oh no, I think I'm being annoying. Like I have to stop
maybe
my conversation.
Maybe they thought we were adults on a Make-A-Wish the Foundation dinner because we told them we were going to a show after.
You know, like when like kids try to be adults. Like I don't think I ever outgrew that phase where I'm like, oh, this is what an adult.
You
does.
Felt like you were wearing your dad's sport jacket at dinner.
Exactly. I always still do. Yeah, okay. I'm like, yeah. So
guys, Tom can order food. If any of you are lucky enough to go out to dinner with Tom, just let him order. I just sit down and I say, you tell me what I'm having.
Well, we're both Italian. You just keep ordering until it's like, that's too much, right? That's more than people.
Yeah, there's nothing. We've talked about this. Our biggest nightmare in life is not having enough food. And we're currently planning an event together, and everyone's like, that should be enough. And Tom and I are like, that's not even close.
Can I just tell you, so we're planning like an industry event on the rooftop of our offices, and Dale from your podcast, also my wife, but Dale from Watch It or Read It and Folktown, she is in charge of the food. She was on jury duty for a couple of days.
Oh,
so
this
I
poor
had
baby.
It fell on me to then like take this over, because she couldn't respond to the caterers. First off, we're having caterers, right? This is just like a happy hour thing. And I'm like, no, we have to have food. So now we have caterers. And then it's like, all right, do we just like set up a table of things or like little, like, it's like, no, we have to have people walking the party with trays. Like, this is I made a fancy event. And then on top of that, like everybody else, like, and I think you sent it to my wife, is my sister sent it to me too. There's a guy in New York who like is like a cannoli business where he shows up at like weddings and parties.
I'm obsessed
and has
with
cannoli shells.
Just cannoli shells. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just like fills them on demand. And I'm like, how much would that be to add? Like, I don't know when to stop.
Remember when I told you about the guy, Vinny Mozzarella, is the only thing I've booked.
Yes.
It's literally the only thing my fiance and I have booked for our wedding, verbally, with Vinny Mozzarella. He just comes with his old school mozzarella. He makes it and stretches it right in front of you, fresh mozzarella. And then he has the old school red Italian slicer for the fresh prosciutto that he makes so thin. And then he has like salt and pepper and roasted red peppers, and you can just build your own. Oh my God. I'm getting turned on.
Right?
So,
you need to take a knee.
Back to Urkel. That'll dry me up real quick.
Did I do that?
But wait, the last thing I was going to say there too, to the point of how much I order, I don't know if this happens to you too, because again, I don't know if it's just a me thing or an Italian thing. I want to say, if I'm going out a group, right? If it's just me and my wife, that's one thing. But if it's like, if I'm with other people and I'm in charge of ordering, I can't remember if a waiter has never said, I think that's enough. Like the waiters are like, I think like they'll always pull me back a little bit. They'll be like, I don't know if you need two of those.
I do that with my family. I am the you for my family when we go to restaurants. And I'm always like, okay, so we'll take one. You know what? Honestly, let's just make that two. And then you'll hear like the protests from my family because they know I'm paying. They're like, no, we don't need two. Yeah. And the server will be like, I mean, honestly, that's probably too many for four people. I'm like, no, we got leftovers. Mom, you'll eat them leftovers.
Yeah.
We'll take four of the others. Like, I'm the worst with that. But also, there's a power in it, you know? It's like, bring it on. Bring on all the appetizers.
We're not going to try the thing that everyone's like, oh, wait, you went there and you didn't try that thing? Oh, wait, you have to try.
Also, this has been a while, guys. Tom's birthday passed quite a few months ago. We went out to dinner to a place that we picked. It was supposed to be a surprise, but you can't surprise Tom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we picked this place specifically. If you remember from many episodes ago, Tom took me to the steakhouse for my birthday.
Yeah, that's great.
Because it has roasted bone marrow, something we dream about.
I love that.
Yeah. We sit down. The hosts have already given Dale shit, telling us we have only got an hour and change at the table, and there's fucking 10 of us. And then Tom's got to handle that like the boss ass bitchy. He was girl bossing very close to the sun this night.
Well, hang on. But the point of that, too, that makes it extra silly is I was in a similar state as I am right now. And you had gotten me a little tiara for my birthday.
It was
birthday,
a super soft birthday party.
Yeah. And so I go up, excuse me, I have a complaint as I'm dressed with a sash and I'm oblivious to what I'm wearing.
And there's a unicorn pinata on the table.
Yes. But to the point, I didn't even say anything. I wasn't like complaining. I was just like, look, I was like, we just don't want to. I don't know what happened, like miscommunication, whatever. We just didn't want to feel right. I was more concerned about like everyone else feeling like, you know, rushed, like, oh, we got to get out of here. And then they came over to me and they apologized after. And I was like, oh, no, that's fine. We were all good. They're like, you can stay as long as you want.
And then Tom did the thing where he orders the whole menu. Heartbroken, because what's the one thing they don't have? The bone marrow.
Wait, no, so it's not that. The way he rattled it off, he's like, oh, just to let you know, there's a few things we don't have on the menu.
So bad.
We don't have our roasted bone marrow. We don't have our roasted bone marrow. Great. And I was like, as soon as he got to the second, I was like, are you just out of bone marrow? He was like, yes, that's what I was. It's just bone marrow we're out of. But he was rattling off all the things that have bone marrow that I was going to order. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You just broke my heart. But that one thing. So anyway.
Okay. And then Tom ordered 16 of every other appetizer on the menu. And then the manager felt bad because he saw how much money we were spending and sends over 14 more of every item on the menu.
We had so many oysters to the point I was like, you know, I always feel, I mean, you've gotten sick off oysters, right?
No. Okay. Another story, since we haven't recorded in a while. Let's bring on Christmas 2024. Yeah. My year. Remember how we joked last year, at least 2024 will be better for Amanda? 2024 ended quite possibly worse than any other year. Yeah. And the universe was like, you know, it would be fun if your fiance and his brother, Kyle, from the Can We Geek About podcast, and their other brother, Andy, go out for dollar oysters right before Christmas and just spend time together as brothers. And then they all get food poisoning from those oysters. That's the norovirus, which is then contagious to humans. And then you go home and give it to your fiance, who gets her period the exact same day and now has the norovirus from oysters she did not eat. And she's shitting and puking and bleeding out of her body. And then on top of that, also got COVID that you brought back from New York City all at the same time. And then my dog died a week before that. Okay. So it was not a good time, guys. So when those oysters hit the fucking table, I was like, this is a goddamn joke.
So just to the point, you've technically gotten sick from oysters, even if it's never you consuming oysters.
Via my ass, I guess.
So, but anyway, with the oysters, we had, like, for me, I've gotten sick with oysters once. It was mild. I lucked out. That said, you feel like you're playing Russian roulette when you have oysters. It's like, I'll have like a thing of three. You know, I don't want to sit there and have oysters for lunch, right? But it's a cool like little like.
Really, let's have feel like that's another thing I've romanticized.
Just having oysters.
Just being a white man in New York City on a day that I'm wearing a Patagonia vest and a white button down, and going to a steakhouse named like something Vans and sitting down and eating oysters with a martini. That doesn't happen.
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Can we do oysters for lunch? I'm not going to get them, but I want you to order them.
Wouldn't it be fun if we just like played dress up and like we dressed up like finance bros and just like went to a steakhouse?
I have never been more obsessed with an idea. Guys, we're playing around with a Patreon maybe. And if one of our Patreon episodes is us, I'm wearing a fucking skirt suit. Like past the kneecaps, you know?
Yeah. No, you seem like I've worked in the finance business. I worked for a brokerage years ago. You seem like the girl who's gonna like kick through the door. You're like the power woman broker.
For sure. And I'm going to use my cleavage to my ability and my ass. I always will. Okay. But like, I want this to be comical. I want my cankles to be out, and I want to be wearing short, fat, stubby heels. And I want us to play dress up and go to one Bobby Van Steakhouse that I drive past every single time on the way to the studio. I want us to go there.
Can we get like the Zach Morris cell phone? Like, can we just
with 80s suitcases? Style?
Yes.
Or briefcases?
Briefcases. Yeah.
I've never been so excited in my life. What movie will this be for?
But the every like
Moneyball.
I know it seems like really sick. Why can't we just like why don't people just do that more often? Like just be like
play dress up?
Yeah. Just like fuck it. Let's go to like because
went to a fairy ball with your wife and our editor.
Right, but that's all right. But the difference there is it's an event and everyone knows you're going for the theme of the event. I'm talking about what you're saying.
That's completely fair.
I'm saying like, yeah, show up like, 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon at a bar.
For happy hour. For happy hour.
Happy hour. And just walk in and just start making up just for fun.
Like we can be like, our fiduciaries, so douched. They are so
douched.
Just closed
a $2.3 billion deal.
With drinks. Your mom.
Yeah. Where how do we get there?
It doesn't matter. This episode, it's got one story. Let's go.
So Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
So Harriet's on the show. They're like, we like her. The audiences clap when she comes on screen. And so then off the heels of Die Hard, they give her a little bit of backstory and they have her husband played by Carl Winslow.
He is no one else.
Reginald Ville Johnson.
What a name. Also, can we please treat him with the respect he deserves? His name is Carl Otis Winslow.
I didn't know that. He had a middle name?
Well, of course he did. The man's a goddamn national treasure.
Anyway.
Harriet Baines Winslow.
So they give her a whole backstory with her sister moved in with her and all this fun stuff. And they're like, then let's make everyone claps when she comes on. So let's make this a TV show. So they do that. Like I've previously said on this podcast, we're going to do a fun little sitcom about a hardworking, family from the suburbs in Chicago, all this blah, 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 blah.
Beautiful.
Episode 6.
So beautiful.
It is introduce Silly G.E.L. White as the next door neighbor. Steve Urkel shows up and the audience clapped and the producers. I just have that moment thinking the set.
I would do anything. Was this taped in front of a live audience?
Yeah, of course.
Can you imagine being in that audience when he walked out of that door and said, and he doesn't he knock something over and he's, did I do that?
No, wait, even
was that
funnier.
Later.
Okay, wait, I have something funny to say about this. I was watching that. So they eventually bring him back like 4 episodes later, whatever it is. And they start actually putting him into the show. So that's it. He shows up. Everyone's like, oh, that was fantastic. And then they're like, we got to get this kid back on the show. So they just start already writing this next scripts they have to write, which is, again, a couple episodes out. And then they start including this G.E.L. White as Steve Urkel. It's in that episode he comes back when Eddie, the other son, is putting together something that I don't even like thinking about now. I'm like, I don't know. Did we do that shit in the 90s? Like, were you just sitting there in like the living room making building like little like ships and bottles or whatever he was doing.
I guess.
And he has, he's using like little super glue, a little like model ship on the table. And G.E.L. White comes in, hiney ho, whatever, is walking around and then goes to walk out and he trips over the little like thing, like the sheet that's over the table and pulls the model and crashes on the floor and breaks into a million pieces. Eddie and him are just standing, staring at each other while the crowd is like, this is a family matter. It's like we just whatever they're clapping about.
What a win.
Yeah. And they stare at each other blankly for a couple seconds. And then when the audience finally calms down, Steve says, points at it, goes, did I do that? And then, but that makes sense, right?
And like, then the world was changed.
Then everyone laughed, right? But here's the best part in the context, right? Because I know it's become his line and like the thing we all know, like what does Steve Urkel say? He's like, did I do that? In that context, it totally makes sense. Like 3 episodes later, he comes in and he has a basketball and he's like, oh yeah, I'm practicing to be a basketball player, whatever. I don't know what the whole why. And Laura Winslow is sitting there with her bowl of cereal. And she's like, Steve, get out of here. And he goes, no, I've been practicing. Look what I can do. And starts spinning it on his finger until it falls off his finger into her bowl. And he immediately points at it and goes, did I do that? Now, in the like when he knocked over the thing, when he knocked over the thing before, that made sense. He pointed out like because he tripped over it and it fell on the floor. Did I do that? Now they're just like, they went from, okay, that was contextual. That makes sense. And then all of a sudden, like three episodes later, like that, fuck it. That's his catchphrase.
I love
just
it.
Say pointed things and anything
think
you break.
Think of how many stupid shits you did as a kid yeah. and would be like, oh, did I do that? And it would get you, your friends would laugh their asses off when it's like very clear you did that.
Yeah. They were just chasing the laughs, man. Whatever they had to do. And
I
so,
mean, I get it.
I also want to point something else out that I found that I thought was hilarious to me. I'm trying to find where it's, where it has the line itself, but they talk about Stefan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Everyone remembers Stefan. Do you want to remind everyone who Stefan is?
Stefan. Suddenly Urkel yeah. would go into this machine. He would come out sexy as this, like it's supposed to be his cousin, right? Urkel's cousin.
No.
Or just it's, his, it's, him it's, in the it, machine.
It's like, remember in Austin Powers,
oh yes, 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 yes.
Use, what the hell it was?
He does. Oh no, the cousin is the little girl.
You're thinking of Myrtle Urkel.
Myrtle Urkel. Yes. Myrtle, okay. Yeah. But yeah, so he goes into this machine and he comes out smokehouse suave Stefan, yeah. and he's like supposed to be the super hot, smooth,
yeah,
boys to men version.
Yes.
Of Steve
yeah,
Urkel.
Yeah. Very timely. Yeah. I want to point out on the Wikipedia article, who is very clearly written by G.E.L. White. It says, as the show progressed, episodes began to center increasingly on Steve Urkel and other original characters also played by White, including Steve's suave alter ego, Stefan Urkel. And then in parentheses, it says, who is similar to G.E.L. White's real life self.
Oh, that was written by him. He paid $20 to a kid to log on under their own IP address and put that in there.
Did you also know there was a Steve Urkel animated movie
that the just Christmas came out like, one?
Yeah.
Just read it on Wikipedia 5 seconds ago.
Okay.
Have you watched it?
I watched some clips and the trailer. I just want to point out.
Urkel Save Santa?
I didn't believe it was G.E.L. White's voice because I was like, oh, it doesn't sound like him at all. But it is. And then on top of that, they didn't bring a single person back. Like there are other, I want to point out, there are other very famous people doing voices in this movie. When I say very famous, I mean, compared to the cast of the 90s sitcom Family Matters, who probably have been out of work for a little bit. You have Wayne Knight in this movie, who is Newman from Seinfeld and from Jurassic Park. Nicole Byer, Jay Farrow, Thomas Lennon from Reno 911, you might know.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ray Wood Jr. Like there's a lot of people in this movie. And I'm like, you guys couldn't call Reginald Vell Johnson up and give him
Reginald. Guys, I tried line. If Reginald, if you're listening, I did send an email to your people. I wanted nothing more than for you to be our guest on this episode. So if you're listening, we can do another episode.
That man just deserves. You know who I really want to talk to? And more out of like, I want to, I'm so curious. The more we go into this, I am so curious.
I know who you want to talk to. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
The sister that went up the stairs and never came back.
I would love to talk to literally anyone that Judy, you're talking about Judy.
Yeah, Judy. She went up the stairs one day, never came back.
Faded out,
off
faded
the
out.
Show.
I will also say on this show, remember Myra? I think Myra ends up with
the cousin.
Myra ends up with Waldo, I think, at the end. But Myra
passes away from cancer.
What?
The girl that played Myra.
Oh, the girl that played Myra passed
away?
Yeah,
Myra. That's why she wrote off the show. Her episodes became too hard for her to do because she had cancer. She died like in 1998, shortly after the show ended.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah, super. Michelle Thomas was her name. I apologize.
Yeah, she was also on The Cosby Show, which funny
Gosh,
enough.
Gosh, guys.
Funny
so
enough.
So was G.E.L. White almost, right?
Was he?
He auditioned for Rudy, and they basically told him, oh, you've got Rudy Huxtable. And then he went there. His whole family was ready to move to New York to shoot the show. And then he gets there and they're like, we're still auditioning kids. And then in walks who ends up playing Rudy Huxtable, and he lost it to her.
Oh my God. And then he took out that was his villain origin.
Took out Reginald.
That was his villain origin. But let me just wait. Can I just say, now I feel terrible. Michelle Thomas, who was Myra on, and she was like everyone's love interest. Like, so at least like, yeah, three people's
she
love interest.
Hot.
I had a crush.
Gorgeous.
On her.
I had a crush on her.
Like 90s, like pre-pubescent Tommy was sitting there, and like, I would get angry when he would, because remember, there's like, they set her up with Urkel at some point and they try to get.
Yeah. And she loves him, but he loves Laura.
Yeah. He's like, I love Laura. So, but I was like, you idiot, you fool.
You want to know what's so hilarious? It's like, everyone listening to this podcast knows our personalities by now.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this being like, why won't Laura love Urkel?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she love him? He's so nice. Watching this back, I would have set him on fucking fire. That kid deserved a restraining order. He used to peek in on her in the shower and
wait,
go
you
into
saw
the
that
bathroom.
Too? You saw that too? Where he was like, pervert. He comes in, he's like, Laura, where are you, my love? And then he hears the shower turd on. He's like, you can't fool me. He walks into the
sick
bathroom.
Fuck.
That shower running doesn't fool me, Laura. Sorry, Rachel.
I would have set him on fire.
But even better, he's like, he comes out, everyone's like laughing. He goes like, sorry, Rachel, which was like uncle, like the aunt.
The aunt, whose story, heartbreaking. Little Richie, he stole the show. Cutest kid in the world with the best mullet ever created. And she got a dead husband, so she has to move in with her sister and her grumpy ass husband.
Uh-huh. Who kids
was like
kids
so
disappear.
Pissed that she's there as if it's her fault her husband died.
Yeah. And all the kids start disappearing. It's fantastic.
I mean, you know what? Oh my God, I just had the best idea. What if somebody rewrote this as a horror film? All these kids and women show up, but one day you're supposed to wake up and believe that your mom is not the same mom from the first episode. And then your mom for 8 seasons is not the same mom that you have in the 9th season. And he's just trying to convince you that, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your daughter disappears and he tries to convince the whole family that, like, you never had another little sister.
No, what if, wait,
I
what
think
if
we're onto something?
What if when like Judy, like, disappears, we like cut to, it's almost like the Upside Down where we like we're in like the house, but it's like just her and like because they also forgot about her right after
they
that. Like,
she doesn't even like exist anymore.
Yeah.
They didn't even write her an off story. They were just like, Felicia. okay. Keep going. We're in the Upside Down.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, she's just like wandering around. Maybe she, and like a year later, she runs into the Harriet Winslow. But the Harriet Winslow that, because then she becomes like comes to the other side.
Oh my God, this is so good. Yeah. Tom, write this down for when we're not on the 420 episode.
Okay.
And can remember these things.
Do you remember? It's even funnier. I feel like, do you know how many shows people have been written off from in like different ways? Like I get the more recent famous one was like when Roseanne was written off Roseanne and that became the Connors.
Yeah.
All right. But do you know in the 80s they had something like that as well?
For the Roseanne show?
No, for another show. Do you remember?
Oh my God, no.
Starring Jason Bateman.
Oh, the one he was on.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Is he Family Ties?
No,
which
he's
one
not.
He?
He's not Family Ties. Oh well, it depends on which you want to go for because there's two. Well, there's two names. I'm also stalling because I do remember it, but my brain is not full, and so full.
It's full of something.
It's full. But I'm trying to make sure I don't mess up the name. Okay, here we go. All right, I got it. Whoa. Okay.
Okay.
So it was he played David Hogan on the show Valerie.
Uh-huh.
Starring Valerie Harper as Valerie Hogan. And then Valerie was like, I don't want to be on Valerie anymore. And they're like, well, that's awkward because
it's about that, you.
The show is named about. It'd be like Seinfeld if Jerry Seinfeld left. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? They're like, oh, it's a show in the future. Anyway, So they have that conversation with him. It's so weird. And so they turn the show into the Hogan family and they continue. So exact same thing. It's like Roseanne, except Valerie Harper didn't go on a racist tirade and blame it on Ambien, well, because they're like, hey, it's the 80s. How did you get Ambien? It doesn't exist yet. And so that's, you know.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. There's three different versions of Harriet Winslow, which is hilarious.
Which is three?
Well, one never aired because when they originally shot the pilot, it was supposed to be someone else. So I read an article sense, by BuzzFeed.
She was the one. She was the one on the other show.
You're right. We'll find it. Don't worry, guys. Then she asked for an increase, and that's why she got written off the show. Oh. Is what she says. That's also what the little daughter said. The girl that played the daughter. She asked for an increase, and they were like, "Sorry," and then they just kicked her off the show.
So and again, this is just Wikipedia, but there's a different story on Wikipedia.
Okay.
It says the network, blah, 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 blah.
Written by Jaleel White.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Apparently he's making himself the bad guy. So Jo Marie Patton's contract had just expired and she was reluctant to continue, feeling the show had jumped the shark years prior. So this is, she went in and now edited the Wikipedia and left in the GEO.
I love that everyone has access to this. Yeah. So collaborative. It's just like Gotham West.
Her grandkids taught her how to use Wikipedia. It was great.
Fantastic.
She agreed to stay to keep continuity, but left mid-season shortly after nearly getting into a physical altercation with White in what be her last regular episode. In that episode, White, playing a gangster instead of his usual Urkel. So, which I love about that too, because like it's like, remember how it's just like, oh, like whatever G.L. White wants to do, it's the G.L. White.
I was just going to say, imagine him in his trailer like, yeah. I don't want to be
Urkel this episode.
I've always wanted to be in a gang. Today's the day. Watch out.
I don't want to be Urkel this episode. G.L., whatever you need. Come out of your trailer.
It, you got it.
I want to be gangster this episode. All right, fine. You're a gangster.
You got it. We're
getting
your colors. Someone called
the PA. CBS episodes are really weird. Anyway.
Hold on. They jumped ship, right? If I remember this, they were whatever TJIF was on, and then they moved.
Yes, they're on CBS now.
Okay.
Yeah, because funny enough, and this I don't know if a lot of people know this. I guess you'd figure it out, but in the 90s, there was a company called like Capital something who used to own ABC. They sold it to Disney. Disney bought ABC, which is also why every family on TGIF went to Disney World because everyone has to do an episode of Disney World. Remember Michelle was on the parade? Oh, my God.
She was fantastic. What a dream, Michelle. My God.
If you're a kid from the 90s, you know.
Just that was like, my God, anyone can do it.
They waved at her, and then there's a whole, how'd that family get all involved? Also, does this family not ride rides at Disney World? They're just wandering the park.
Those are the worst people.
Yeah.
Are you an anti-ride rider?
What do you mean?
What's like that? When you go to a go to an amusement park, do you ride the rides? Or are you
if I can.
I'll sit out. Okay. So I'm an adrenaline junkie. I'm like, we have to sign a waiver. I'll do it twice.
Yeah.
Like I have a problem, but when you go, and this happened to me in Harry Potter World, which, you know, broke my heart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Go with people that are like, that looks so lame. I don't like rides.
I've never
especially
been
the ones in Disney World. They're so they're not scary.
No,
you're just basically being in the movie. They're very immersive.
Yeah.
I do just want to take this opportunity to say that the Mummy ride at Universal Studios with Brendan Fraser is quite possibly the best ride ever created in the history of any theme park. I just want to take this opportunity. But every time I watch these episodes of them at Disney, and they'd never go on the rides, but one thing that has stuck with me my entire life, and I believe it was the Family Matters episode.
Okay.
No. Step by Step?
Yes, okay. Step by Step went to Disney.
They went into the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids world.
Uh-huh.
I am one of the lucky children from the millennials that can say I got to experience the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid world before they changed it in Epcot. And it was chef's kiss.
Really?
Did you like those movies? I loved them.
Yeah. Okay. I liked Honey, I Blew Up the Kid better. I didn't
That was part of the park, but like you were, they made everything so big. And as a little kid, it's just like, oh my God, I am an ant. This is amazing. Cool. So, but yes, it was a step-by-step episode.
We have to take a podcast company trip to Disney or Universal, really.
You have to put a camera on me because I get so emotional. And I'm that annoying person that's like, actually, did you know in the movies, this would be blue?
Yeah, I want to go.
Well, maybe I turn into Steve Urkel. No.
Did I do that? I just trip over things.
Oh, no. Okay, so one thing I do have from my notes that hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember 3J?
Yes.
He was the kid they adopted like late in the like 8th and 9th season.
Yeah.
Jerry Jamal Jameson, and it was Orlando Brown. He was a little kid. He was in like That's So Raven, and like he went on to a million other shows. But they called him 3J. And I remember thinking when I was little, I was like, yo, that's the dopest nickname you could ever have. 3J. Now all the shows back on it, they were probably like, oh, this is a good name. This kid's from the hood.
Every one of these shows had to have a kid, a little kid, so that us little kids can identify and be like, we like this show because there's a kid like us on there.
Is he the little kid on the Jamie Foxx show?
Was he?
I think, hold on, how do we look this up?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Okay. He was very cool on the Jamie Foxx show.
Yeah.
He was really cool. But I just remember poor little 3J. He got this like big backstory, comes on for a few episodes, and they're like, show is canceled.
Yeah. Poor kid. Well, I mean, the whole story about that. That's what I was talking about. So Disney bought ABC. And so the company that makes this show was like, who also made Perfect Strangers. They made a bunch of shows. It's Miller Boyette Productions. Remember? This is a Miller Boyette production.
Yes.
So then, the whole thing was they were like, this company's not going to Miller Boyette. I don't know what the hell I said. But anyway, they were like, screw Disney. They're going to want to do everything in house. So they decided to jump ship with this show and Step by Step, which I didn't know Step by Step was also on CBS.
I have the TGIF lineup
memorized
every Friday from 1985. On right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so
wait, can I ask a question before cold reading it?
Go.
The one I remember was and I guess you can figure out what year this burned in my brain.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, it was Full House, followed by Family Matters.
Uh-huh.
Followed by Step by Step.
Uh-huh.
Followed by there's something else, but it was nothing ever stuck, so it was always rotating whatever that last show was.
It would rotate between, go ahead, you say them and I'll tell you if it's what's magic.
Well, I was going to say because it was Step by Step would bounce between 9 and 9:30, but it really stuck because it became the one that actually stuck around. But then the fourth slot was always random shows. Eventually Sabrina premiered there, I believe. But
yeah, Sabrina ended up hanging out at the 8:30 slot while Family Matters was still occupying the 8 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
And then it hilariously went from Sabrina. They knocked Boy Meets World out of that slot, and then Boy Meets World took it back.
Oh, wow.
And it pushed Sabrina to the 9 p.m. slot. But Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Occupied
a lot of it. And so it was Hanging with Mr. Cooper and then Sister bounced back and forth. And I don't remember this one, but Clueless. I didn't watch that.
So they tried to make Clueless a TV show.
Yeah, I didn't
watch
it.
And they did it on ABC for like a season, and then it didn't work there, and then they went to syndication. And it was a syndicated show on like Saturday mornings or whatever.
I'll tell you when I started to tap out was like, I love Two of a Kind. I love Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Like, diehard Boy Meets World fan. Yeah. If we could do a Boy Meets World episode, I would die. I didn't love Two Girls, a Guy, and a Pizza Place. I know Ryan, that's what's his name's like debut show, but never really watched it. Brother's Keeper and Odd Man Out and the Hughleys. I didn't watch the Hughleys. Yeah, I didn't watch those.
Yeah, no, that was after our again, and it's really funny. I'm looking at the list now.
Way past
and
our time, right?
My first remembrance of TGIF was Family, like all the way in like 91, 90, Jesus Christ. Family Matters, Step by Step, and Perfect Strangers. And then,
the 91, 92.
Yeah, but the one that's like
Dinosaurs.
But to your point, the one that's like burned in my brain is the one that used to be Family Matters. Where's Full House? Oh, okay. There it was. It was all right. I always thought Family Matters was the lead in, but
and you know, it's funny that you say that because I, for some reason, thought Full House happened after Family Matters, but happens quite a few years before.
Yeah, Full House was already on.
I did not realize that.
But what's funny is I didn't realize this. I always thought that they were on Fridays, but it looks like they hadn't been on since like 91. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Hold on. We need to do one thing while we're looking at this list. Mm-hmm. Shout out to 20 motherfucking 20 occupying that 10 o'clock slot from 1987.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Until now.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah. This is 2020. I mean, that was the most depressing part of the night, by the way.
It was because that's when your parents heard that. They're like, mm-hmm. Time for you to go to bed. These are adult stories. We're going to watch the news now.
Yeah.
Which my mom wonders why my true crime obsession started. She would watch this and I'd be like, oh my God, I love this. He put his head where? She died where? But one thing I will say is, we're talking about Full House.
Wait, something timely. I'll never forget. And I mean, if you can help me figure out what was the lineup that night, but I'll never forget. I was watching TGIF and I want to say it was definitely ran over 2020, but maybe it ran earlier too, that all of a sudden they cut into programming because they were kept following this random white Bronco driving around LA randomly from like,
what year was that?
Yeah, I don't know. That you got to check that. But they broke in. It happened on Friday, and the only reason I remember that is because I was watching TGIF, and all of a sudden they broke in.
That's that had to be 94, 95.
No, I think it might have been 93? Earlier. When was that?
I would say between 93 and 94 is my guess. June 17th, 1994.
Okay, there you go.
Do you know why I remember this?
Why?
It was at Elise Morocco's house in Scotchtown, New York. And my mom had dropped me off because they were currently buying the house that my parents still live in. And they were going for one more walkthrough. So I got to sleep over Elise's house. And we spent the whole night making up a dance to Salt and Pepper, Push It Good. Yeah. And swimming in her pool with her cousins. And then during the day, my parents showed up early and this was happening. Yeah. And my mom and stepdad sat on the couch, which my stepdad, tiny Italian man, socializes with no one. Sat on the couch and we all watched this together on Elise's TV in her living room.
Okay, wait. So now, or it's June 17th.
Yes.
1994.
Yes.
So that is, I guess that technically now, are you? I guess.
Family Matters.
So it was Family Matters, Boy Meets World, Step by Step, and Sister Sister. And I think I was watching. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But can I ask a question? I don't remember this show. What was On Our Own?
That was brief. I barely remember that. Like I saw this come up here, but I was like, oh, I barely remember that. But I want to say that.
Has it listed like that? Does that mean like most of the year, fall, winter was Boy Meets World and then On Our Own did a little thing? And
yeah,
then okay.
Yeah. So like Boy Meets World.
Guys, we're looking at Wikipedia, by the way. So if you did want to look at this to like relive this, just do the TGIF lineup on Wikipedia. It's perfectly set up and it really does bring you back.
But isn't it crazy how Hanging with Mr. Cooper lasted 5 seasons and like it doesn't get remembered as much as some of the other shows that lasted like 5 seasons?
100% because it was incredible. And I do just want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Step by Step was my jam and no one my age was watching Step by Step. So I would watch it and like be embarrassed that I was watching it.
You know how embarrassed I was when someone told me that it's literally just the Brady Bunch, but modernized. And I was like,
well, that's rude. That's not what it is. That's
it is.
I know that, but it's not what it is.
And then, that guy who lives in the driveway who eventually became a real life creep. What was his name? Do you not know about that?
No.
Cody, who lived in the driveway, you know, like cousin Cody.
Sasha Mitchell?
Yeah, is that who it was?
Oh, no. Yeah.
He was a kickboxer.
And I know.
He used those skills on his girl, wife.
I really do love the Kickboxer movie, though. I begged you to do it because I love Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'll do it. But anyway, yeah. So they didn't have a, you know, what's her name? Who was the housekeeper from Brady Bunch?
Yes, Alice.
They didn't have Alice. So he was their version of Alice, who is just like a nephew, cousin, whatever, just lived in the driveway.
So back to Family Matters.
Yes.
I do want to say something.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit in the last 420 episode, but because we're going to do this episode, I rewatched the episode I spoke about in the last episode.
Okay.
The episode where Carl is trying to explain to his black son.
Yes.
As a cop. Mm-hmm. This is what you do if you get pulled over because it's not the same for you.
Yeah.
Beautiful episode of television.
Yeah.
And just as a white person who lives in the sticks, not something I've ever had to think about. So definitely as a little kid, really opened my eyes.
Yeah.
What a pivotal moment in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is in primetime television. Well, and then that little fucktard interviews this or interrupts this beautiful moment. And I'm just like, is this rewatching it? I'm like, now I know what Tom's talking about. They couldn't
don't worry.
Hard hitting episode without him having a meltdown.
It's you know, it's like the very special episode when like he finishes his line and the audience doesn't react. And then all of a sudden you just hear like the audience is like some like because like the studio manager just looked at the crowd and started like slow clapping. And they were like, oh, OK, we have to clap now because this is a serious moment. Bursts in.
And I do just want to say this.
Yeah.
Justice for Laura and justice for Eddie.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't talked about them a lot, but like in my eyes, Laura Lee Winslow can never do anything wrong a day in her life.
Yeah.
That girl was just trying to live. Her dad was a cop. Her brother was a big dumb jock.
Yeah.
Her mom was high strung as shit, probably snorting Valium off the counter. And this poor girl was just trying to live. She's just trying to be a teenager. And rewatching it, I love her 10 times more than I ever did. And Eddie, I know the guy who plays Eddie got in a little bit of trouble. But
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it didn't go great for Darius McCray.
Oh, no.
But I'm just saying, I think we're forgetting. I mean, Reginald Vell Johnson, obviously, but Eddie and Laura, they deserve more.
Well, I was gonna say two things. Kelly Williams, who played Laura, you got to give it to her, Greg, because like the show completely changed. Everyone around G.E.O. White deserves so much credit because they signed on for one thing and then the show became a completely other thing and they all just went
had
with
to
it.
Suck it up.
Yeah.
She was on Moesha though. She was good on Moesha.
Okay. Yeah. She still had like a little bit of a career after too. I don't know if she, does she still act? I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, she acted up until she's, hold on, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Family Matters Christmas made in 2022. Is that an answer to Jaleel White's Christmas with Urkel?
Is it?
Hold on. She was an executive producer. I need to know everything about this.
No, I don't think it's related.
Oh my God.
Wait, was Gio White's reprise? No, okay, hang on. No, that's not it.
I'm obsessed with this now.
It's just completely different. It just uses the title, but I don't think it's real. Oh, but she's in it. I'm so confused.
Okay, so maybe this is a brand new thing they did without him to say, fuck you. And your little dumbass show. Look at our.
Oh no.
This.
If you look.
Oh no. What? Oh no.
If you look at the trailer, this is.
Oh no.
I mean, this was is a very low budget. This is not like ABC or, you know, what was the company I was talking about?
Okay. So guys, I do want
this
to know
this
about me.
Boy production.
I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I don't care how cheesy or bad they are.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
It's not what we thought it was.
Yeah.
And I'm uncomfortable, so I'm going to exit out of this page.
Yeah.
You know what? It might be incredible. I've never watched it, but just the one little clip that's playing right now on my IMDb page.
Yeah.
She deserved more in life.
Yeah.
It's not good, Tom.
No, it's not. Let me just point out, this is the thing I hate, right? It's like, it's like over on The Office, you know, like the guy from The Office who played like
Steve Carell.
No, not even close. Well, I don't know what my brain was trying to say.
You said Steve, so you're going to say like Steve Urkel, so you must mean Rainn Wilson.
No, I was not at all. I'm not even, that's what I'm saying. Like
I really thought I could read you. I thought we had powers together. I thought we could talk with our brains.
Stanley Hudson.
Yes. Stanley Hudson. Got it. Yeah.
Okay. You know, like this show lives in our, you know, nostalgia and everything else. And then there's Leslie David Baker out there being like, oh, I'm going to go create a new show called Uncle Stanley. And like, there's no connection. And he starts like a GoFundMe. Yeah. And then like, then he starts like,
why are you telling me this?
He starts talking like Bitcoin or like some crypto thing. That was
this is
scam.
The saddest story in America.
This is what I'm saying is like, you have to understand, you know, and then like you mentioned Darius McCray.
Yep.
From Family Matters. And you know, like poor guy, it's like, it's literally like 2023. Like, and he's like dealing with not being able to pay child support. Like these people don't get to live the rest of their career off of the highest moment of their life where they like earned money, were on a series and all this. Like GL White's over here being like, hey, can I do an animated movie? And just like pocketing everything and just
wait. Also, let's talk about how much they probably did not get raises because they just kept having to give it the budget to Jaleel White to keep him on the show.
Like, Laura, you're unhappy with your salary? Do you want to walk up the stairs and never come back?
Can you say that to your son when he pisses you off next time? Do you want to walk up the stairs and never came back like Judy? You want to do it? Tell you a little story about Judy. Wait, what's the second run thing I see here?
Oh, God. Are they trying to bring it back?
Oh, no, that's just TGIF. They tried to bring it back. Okay, here's a fun little exercise. What was your favorite TGIF show?
Oh, man.
This is fun.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this.
This is hard for me, but okay.
TGIF, as we know it, ended in 1997. Right? Now, to be clear, what I'm saying is that full lineup, right? Like the full packed out 2 hours of like bangers. Family Matters, Boy Meets World, Sabrina.
Wait, I'm gonna disagree. Okay. No, I am gonna agree because I don't know what this You Wish show is, and I don't know what Teen Angel is. So I think you are actually nail on the fucking head. Because I got a little upset because I was like, Sabrina Teenage Witch was actually very good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is like that was the peak. That was
you are
when
100%
and then,
correct.
And then after that, like one show falls off. And then it's like,
it gets wishy-washy.
Yeah, Fall of 98 premiered, and it's Two of a Kind, right? Do you remember that show?
I honestly do not.
That was a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen show.
Yes, I do remember the show.
Yeah, and then it was, because that's them being like, oh no, Full House is over, we gotta do something, where's Mary-Kate
poor babies.
They want more work? It was that, Boy Meets World, Sabrina the Teenage Wish, and Brother's Keeper.
What was Brother's Keeper?
Yeah, sort of the point, right? It's like, it's just like mismatched.
I would have loved this. How did I not watch this? Anything sports related when it comes to these shitty things I love. Nope, never watched it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, yeah, that was the pinnacle. Everything else, like...
Man, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Are you a Boy Meets World fan?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I'm a like diehard. That would be my favorite.
Yeah.
Boy Meets World would be my best one.
Boy Meets World is an interesting one because it does start off as one show and then becomes another, which
that's
is
weird,
but it's
too. Did you continue to watch? I did, but not the way that I used to. Like, I have probably watched all of the seasons until they get to college so many times. Like, I cannot even discuss. Well, every day I would come home from school and watch that.
Okay, so it was three shows because it was in the very, very beginning, it was like this young little kid. Is there Corey Matthews, and it's basically like him. He's got his friend as a side character, but you know, like little kid hijinks, right? It's like very fourth, fifth grade.
Ryder Strong was so fucking hot. Oh my god!
And then the show fell into it. Like once he got a little older, the show transformed a little bit. He became more, instead of it like being like, oh, every episode's a lesson. Mr. Feeney's going to teach us a lesson. It became a little bit more like, no, there's like a little bit more hijinks. So like it kind of went into second gear. Mm-hmm. And then
is that when the teacher shows up? What's his name?
Oh yeah, like what was the teacher?
I thought for a second, I thought it was Mr. Cooper, but I think it's just because of that.
Well,
once
all
that
mysteries,
teacher
right?
enters and they're in like middle slash high school, that's when like
Mr. Turner.
Okay. I was.
Yeah. Who was on that show for how many years?
Talk about hot. He made a mullet look good.
And then
tight pants and his motorcycle
jacket. We're just going to let Corey's friend hunt.
Ryder Strong. He just lives with him now.
It was Hunter, right? It was Hunter?
Yeah.
Was
no.
Is that his best friend? Who was his best friend? What was his best friend's name?
It was Hunter's
Sean,
his last
Sean.
Name, I think.
Yeah, yeah, Sean Hunter.
Sean.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was calling him like the teacher calls him. Hey, Hunter.
Hunter, you're right.
Who was like, came off the same like cupcake tray as the guy from Gilmore Girls who owns the, like, just
cupcake
the same.
I literally just imagined them in a cupcake with like yeah. their little, what were yeah. the, what was that haircut called? The mushroom cut?
The bowl cut?
The bowl cut. Yeah.
But just, you know, who's the guy from Gilmore Girls? What's his name?
Dean. You know, Dean.
No. I'm talking about the guy who owns the, I'm comparing Mr. Turner with the guy who owns the diner.
Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just like off the same. Yeah. Just like, oh, right out of the oven. Like I'm going to put this one over here. Let this
and
one
here
cool
I am thinking
bit.
You're talking about Sean Hunter and him looking like Dean. Which is,
you know what?
Very
yes.
close.
I justice for all the men out there who are oogled and just turned into like little
Jonathan
like
Brandis, Devin
toys.
Sawa.
Yes. Who, by the way, Devin Sawa had like a comeback. He's in like
fucking
a Chucky movie now.
Shit. And he was in the movies with the locks with the trees and you drive with the truck.
What? What the hell are you talking about?
Final Destination. You know what I mean?
Oh, Final Destination. Yeah.
I knew what I meant.
That movie doesn't need a plot. That movie is the ideal TikTok. I'm gonna watch the whole movie on TikTok. Just those like scenes of like,
God, I love them.
Hey guys, this doesn't feel right. Oh, you're crazy. Like that's every like. It's so easy to write a scene.
Yeah, it's me on every fucking flight, dying back there with the peasants while you're in first class, sipping in your champagne, and I'm in between two raw-footed people, thinking this is the last moment.
And everyone's got to be doing something bad. Like, yeah, we're gonna have unprotected sex in the back seat while drinking and driving. It's like. No, you guys, I think something's wrong. We should get out of here.
At least one of you should
be
driving.
Shut up, nerd.
I'm going to lose my scholarship, Tommy.
You push him out of the car. Ha, see you later, loser. And then the car goes off a cliff.
You know what really is like gotten me? I would really love to just do, can we just make this whole season 90s and early 2000s shows and TV and movies? Because because of this, I've just fallen such down like a rabbit hole. And the fucking plots to the television shows, Family Matters, will bring it back to the beginning. I just cannot believe that shit went through a writer's room, a producer.
Yeah.
Everybody read that script and they're like, gold, pure gold.
Yeah.
Let's bring more people in to witness this live. Let's do this.
I liked when there was an episode I watched with my son where there's
of
like a
family
bomb
matters?
Shelter. Yes, there's a bomb shelter in the basement of the school. And the principal's like, hey, hello, Carl. Can you get this guy out? There's a guy living in the bomb shelter. And he's like, I don't know, yada, yada, yada. Hijinks ensue. Urkel comes along, trips over the door. They get locked in the bomb shelter. He's like, did I do that? And then they're stuck in there for a whole weekend.
I have a gun. I just might shoot you if you don't stop with the singing. No jury will convict me.
That's reminiscent of Sondheim.
It's not Sondheim. It's Winslow. Now, please, no more singing, no more dancing. Let's all just sit quietly for the next 3 days.
Until Eddie, who is, I think, a cop now for some reason, gets him out. I like how they just turned Eddie into a cop. Like, I don't know. What to do with him? He's getting older. I don't know. Just make him a cop like his dad. You ever see that episode where like and they make Eddie a cop and I think he's like giving out parking tickets?
Yeah.
And there's like a bank robbery and he doesn't know what to do. And they try to make him look cool, but they like it's not at all because they're like, we're going to make him the hero. Guy's going to come around the corner and Eddie's going to like trip him and be like, freeze, police.
Oh, my God.
But like. They're so bumbling and stupid. It's like, oh my God, like these guys, like Eddie was almost murdered by competent criminals. He's just giving
there's
out
like
tickets.
It's, there's an episode. I don't know what season it's in. It's got to be way in there. When Steve wants to break up with Myra.
Oh, God.
And she stupid. Goes, I just, here's the thing. This episode is like, okay, Eddie quits. He like quits college in this episode and he decides he wants to go to the police academy like his dad. He wants to be a cop. Uh-huh. And it's just like, they literally took, let's take an episode from a white show where it's just a boring ass, lame ass white family. Let's try it in the black family.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this, rewatching this episode. Mm-hmm. And like Eddie quits college and he wants to be a cop. And like, I'm like, this is not so like, I'm really good friends with my other. I know for a fact their mom would have beat the shit out of them if they paid for college. They did not go to college. He's like, I want to be a cop. And everybody's like, don't do it. Yeah. Just the most ridiculous storyline. And I was watching it back and I was like, this is not real life.
Yeah.
This would not fly with anyone ever.
Do you know how the show ends?
No, I don't think I remember.
Not our show. Not our
this
show.
This episode?
Family Matters.
Oh, no, I don't.
They shoot Urkel into space.
That's not real.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. It's not that I don't trust you, but we've both had things, and I need to verify this.
So he goes into space for reasons, whatever. It's Steve. And then all of a sudden there's something, and there's like a Apollo 13-esque kind of situation where they're not going to come back. They're stuck
I'm
in
sorry.
Space.
This is not real.
They're just, and like Laura's just in like the living room in Chicago watching on TV being like, oh no, because they're married at this point, I think too, or they're getting married.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Back up.
Yeah.
They end the show.
Yeah.
With Urkel getting shot into space.
Yeah.
And that's where he stays.
No. He comes back. That's the thing too.
Wait.
It's
what?
Stupid. Yeah, they shoot him into space. It would have been better if he just stayed up there. Just like, goodbye, everyone. Like, goodbye, my Laura. And then anyway, so they shoot him into space, and then suddenly it's like, there's issues, and like, Houston, we have a problem. And then it's a two-part episode. The second episode.
Wait, I remember this. Does Myra try to get on the space shuttle with him?
Does she?
I vaguely remember this.
Okay, this is over on CBS. This is at the end. Okay. And I don't I want to say no because this is 98 and I'm just reading other timelines for Myra. Yeah, so anyway, by the way, just a footnote as I'm reading the description to remind myself. Eddie survives thanks to the lucky bulletproof vest that Carl gave him. So Eddie gets shot.
I just hate everything.
Oh, that was that episode. Meanwhile, while on meter duty, Eddie finds himself in the middle of a shootout.
Eddie.
He got shot. It's okay, though. His dad gave him his lucky bulletproof vest. Not
Wait, is
the
Carl
unlike,
dead?
No, I know. He's still alive.
Okay.
The mother's dead because they killed her.
The robot mom has shown up. We need to turn this show into a horror film.
Steve sees Laura at the end of the episode and says, "You get more beautiful every time I see you," says the sexual predator since he was 14.
Wait, one second.
Yeah.
Is that the last line of the show?
Laura then says she will kiss him only on one condition. Steve has to promise never to go into outer space again. Steve replies with, "Only when we kiss, Laura Lee. Only when we kiss." And they do, much to the delight of the audience, who is joyful cheer in approval. Which is the episode description. Again, goes right back to like, everyone applauds, and that's why we did
Wait,
the thing.
Hold on. You're not... Mm-hmm. This is real life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about this. I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't feel great.
So, somewhere in the Family Matters... Perfect Strangers, Full House, Step by Step universe, because it's all in the same universe. You know, Steve went on to...
Hold on. Step by Step is in this universe?
Yes. Yeah, Steve Urkel visited. Urkel.
A second.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How? Where?
Steve Urkel shows up on Full House on season 4, episode 16, called Stephanie Gets Framed, and also shows up on Step by Step, season 1, episode 2. second episode of the series, they're like, oh, we have to spice this thing up, guys. Can someone call G.E.L. White from the other stage over? He just walks on, probably says, did I do that? And runs away. I don't actually know what happens.
It's called the dance.
Yeah. The Urkel dance. Oh my God. Did they do the Urkel dance?
Oh my.
Remember the Urkel dance?
God.
There's a whole thing about it.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I know anything anymore.
Steve Urkel crash lands in the Foster Lamborghini.
As they are has landed himself across how many fucking shows?
I just want to point out, wait, where does this show take place? Because the other one took place in, by the way, this is actually even funnier. I don't know if you know this. Okay. The beginning of Step by Step. What's the opening credits to Step by Step? What's happening?
Step by step. Day yes. by day.
Day by day. What's happening? Where are they?
They're at a theme park. They're on roller coasters.
Do you know what theme park they're at?
The one in San Francisco.
No, no, no. They're actually at Knott's Berry Farms.
That's the one I was thinking. Okay. That's in Knott's Francisco.
No, it's in the OC.
That's the one I was thinking about. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So they're there. Which, by the way, keep in mind, remember, they are now the network is now owned by Disney.
Mm.
Who's like, hey, we have a theme park not that far from there. Anyway, I'm almost surprised they didn't. But they eventually, funny enough, they do. In the opening credits of the show, they're at a different theme park than the one that they actually go to in the show on an episode. Anyway, I want to do you want to read that episode synopsis? Because that's hilarious to me.
What episode is it?
The second episode of the first season. I was trying to figure out where. Yeah, I was trying to figure out where in the world, where in the country. Oh, they live in Wisconsin.
What?
Okay.
Then why are they in San Francisco?
Because
in my brain, that's where I thought they were.
okay. They live in Washington, Wisconsin.
Steve Urkel, G'Leal White, is Mark's, Christopher Castile's, science fair partner. Alicia, Christine Lakin, loses her date for the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Wait, I just want to point this out. They just said, screw it. We don't care about logic. We don't care about where we put these people in the world. They are science fair partners.
Why would they be science fair partners?
Because no one cares, and they just wanted to see G.E.L. White on more TGIF because it was the 90s.
It says he crash lands in their yard, by the way, as they're picnicking. And he turns out to be Mark's science fair partner and computer pen pal who asked Steve's help for the science fair. Okay, so they did explain that.
They did try to.
After the science fair, he talks to Al, who's been dumped by a boy she likes. Frank told Al that everyone gets dumped at some point and to move on. But Steve reinforces that point. Hold on. This is so poorly written. Steve reinforces that point. There should be a comma, something there. But also convinces Al to ask him to the school dance where she tells him off and tells her about her originally planned date. And learns to do the Urkel to debut at the school dance.
I knew because I used to was dancing.
Oh my God.
Can I just point this out too?
I also want to just apologize. My reading skills are not that poor. The way that this is written on Wikipedia's episode list, not great, guys. I need G'Leal White. I need G'Leal White on the case. I need him on the case.
I'm going to take you back to September of 1991.
Right? I was four.
Okay. When you're 4 years old, it's Friday night. Got to have some fun. TGIF.
My parents are going through a divorce. Everything's really bad. We're very poor. Keep going.
Later tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central.
Yes.
Perfect Strangers followed by Baby Talk, which, by the way, was ABC's attempt to rip off the Look Who's Talking movie. Okay. The fun random side thing. It is literally created by Amy Heckerling, ironically enough.
Interesting.
Who created Clueless. Anyway, side note. That's on later, but now it's Family Matters, followed by Step by Step. So this episode you just read, Family Matters episode Brain Over Brawn airs, where at the end of the episode, Steve's on a jetpack and he goes, whee, and he goes up into the sky of Chicago and then cuts a commercial, the credits, and then Step by Step starts, and then Steve crashes in the backyard of the next TV show.
I don't even understand. Does he have the biggest dick in the world? Did he have sex with every Hollywood executive and underage girl that could ever be lived? to get this power.
Yeah.
What in the French toast happened for this man to have the power he does over the executives of ABC? What happened?
I just want to put it, do you know how cool that would have been to watch, where you're like watching a brand new episode of Family Matters and he goes into the sky and it's like, ah, Laura. And then the end credits. And then
whatever happened to
And then Ernie Anderson being like, it's TGIF coming up next. It's Step by Step. And then it's the Step by Step theme. And then all of a sudden, and then Urkel now crash lands into the next TV show.
Into the family's picnic.
Imagine if you were high. The guy from the last show just landed in the other show. It'd be like, it'd be like if you're watching Wheel of Fortune and then Pat Sajak trips and then it starts Jeopardy and he slides into the studio.
Oh my God.
Like, it's television. He landed on the next show. That's great.
I need a watch party from that episode to the other, because I want to know what that's like.
Yeah.
That's what this episode should have been. Can we go back in time?
Wait, that's what the episode was. I'm not joking.
I agree. I believe you. I just want to be part of that moment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because if you watch reruns of both, they're never airing back to back. You'll never get that moment ever again. Like,
but I want it.
It'd be like, and I'm sure these exist, because I remember, like, do you remember like 1995 or something that Fox was like, we're going to have like 4D, Fox in 4D or something. And then you had to like go to 7-Eleven. You had to go to 7-Eleven and get these like 4D kits. And then you'd watch like Married with Children. And then, like, you know, Al Bundy would like smell his shirt. It'd be like on screen, you'd be like, open the smell packet from 7-Eleven and open up. Yeah. You don't remember this?
Well, no, I was too poor to have it.
It was free. Just go to 7-Eleven. I didn't have a 7-Eleven where I lived. But
can I just reenact my mother? That's gas.
My parents did that too.
That is gas, Amanda. Ask your friend's mom to pick you up. I'm not leaving.
To translate for the rest of the country, she's saying it costs gasoline for the car to go to a place.
Yes.
And my parents did the same thing.
Even if the thing is free.
Just the phrase, that's gas. It's like, yeah, okay, I get it. Yep, you'd have to, like, and back then, so cars expensive. Got, like, half a mile to the gallon, so.
On a good day, if your dad was a mechanic, like mine.
My dad used to put the car in neutral, like he was, like, an automatic, he'd shift it into neutral.
And you'd coast down the hill?
Yes,
every time. My dad did the same thing. Yeah, 100%. Or, my favorite was when he would be like, all right, so the lawnmower has a whole can of gas in there. I'm going to have to go siphon that out into the gas can. And then we can go get ice cream. And I'd be like, yeah, that makes complete sense. Duh, why wouldn't we do that?
Ride the lawnmower.
Every time. What is your favorite TGIF show? Because you do not answer. Mine is Boy Meets World. I already know that.
Benson.
Okay, this was, can we talk about the last episode featuring Tom?
Mr. Belvedere. I love Mr. Belvedere.
This is going down the Family Matters rabbit hole.
Wait, hang on. Okay. I loved, all right, I'm gonna narrow it down. I need help narrowing this down. Okay. Here are the ones I did love. I loved Perfect Strangers, I loved Full House, I loved Family Matters, I loved Dinosaurs, and I think
Dinosaurs is number two for me. Hands down.
Dinosaurs is,
can we do a Dinosaurs episode? It's such a good show. Because the boy dinosaur was Carl Winslow. That's all I can ever think about.
No, do you know he was supposed to be, right?
Wait, what?
He's based on Ralph Cramden.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The dad is based on Ralph Cramden. Like the honeymoon.
No, the son.
Yes.
The teenage son is Carl Winslow. It is.
And or is it also, Eddie? Do you mean Eddie? Like the kid, like the.
It's 100% what I meant. And I apologize for the enthusiasm behind the wrong thing.
He's like a middle-aged cop from Chicago. I'm so confused. Yes.
No. And also, why did they kind of try to make the dinosaurs black people?
Did they?
Yes. It's like a big thing on TikTok.
I didn't know that.
They did.
Not the mama.
Not the mama.
Yeah. Which is like the baby dinosaur What was his name?
I don't know. He was the best.
He was just Baby Sinclair. They were like, you're not going to, like, dinosaurs are going to die out.
Yeah, their last name was Sinclair. You're right.
But that was basically like
Dinosaur. Stewie Griffin.
I don't know.
All right, keep going.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Boy Meets World.
Yes.
I'll say at the time, Hanging with Mr. Cooper was great too. Used to love that. But I'll whittle them down. And I recognize that Sabrina the Teenage Witch was good, but I watched it, but I didn't like it. I didn't love it. Sorry. I'm trying to be careful with my words here. Mm-hmm. I still love Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I just wasn't in my top. There's the thing is, like, I was a generation where it was like Full House was a monster.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Sabrina the Teenage Witch is the very end of my generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though I'm a couple of years younger than you, it really does make a difference in television programming.
Yeah.
Like, this is has nothing to do with TGIF, but, like, were you a Clarissa Explains It All fan?
Yes, love Clarissa Explains It
Same.
All. Same. Yeah.
And to me, all that was, like, the last of the shows that came out that were cool, and then I kind of started to feel a little bit old for all the shows.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, even the Amanda Show, I felt too old for.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, even when, like, Boy Meets World starts going to college, and I'm just like, all right, I don't want to watch College Stories.
See, I did watch that because I was like, this is how you are sexy. Mm-hmm. Look at Rachel. She's so hot.
Is she the one that?
The redhead. She's in porn now.
Yes.
It's fantastic for her. Yeah. Also,
I thought you were going to say it's fantastic. Like, Judy, you didn't watch that?
I did. But okay. Judy.
Which one's Judy?
From this show, Family Matters.
Oh, from Family Matters. Yes.
Also in that world.
What do you mean?
You didn't know this?
No.
Judy Dunn did porn.
Oh, okay. I think mentioned.
And then she went on that show with oh my gosh, what's the celebrity doctor?
Phil?
No. Dr. Phil. The other guy, he was on the Love Show.
Oh, Dr.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So she went on his show and she had some really bad addiction problems. And she was pretty messed up about what happened to her on Family Matters. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Yeah.
And there's like G.L. White being like, you know, just flailing his arms, getting into fight. Yeah.
So you think when he was on Family Matters and Step by Step, two show salary, he had to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's getting paid from the budget of Step by Step, getting paid from the budget of Family Matters. If I were Mr. Carvel, I would have lit this motherfucker on fire. Yeah. And Laura deserved to more than anyone else. Let me tell you, this man was a predator.
Yes. And she had to be in all these scenes with him. And then depending on whether GL wanted to show up to set that day and be cool or be like, you realize that like
he was a bigger predator as Stefan.
Yes. It's just, yeah, but he was just cooler. So that proves the point. It's like he can get away with it.
Yep. Yep. We are making history, folks.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah, when Boy Meets World went off to college, I didn't care anymore.
Oh, I loved it. I didn't love it the way I loved Boy Meets World, but I also thought I could learn a lot. I'd be like, I want to go. I'm like a little bit sad that I didn't get to go stay in a dorm and all that kind of stuff in my life. Like I really would have thrived there, but also I raged a little hard at that age, so
yeah. But also, like I, you know, grew up in love with Topanga too.
Who didn't?
Right.
I don't care what team you currently play for.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a man, woman, trans, all the things I love and know, you had a sexual attraction to teenage Topanga.
Yeah.
That's science. That's like. If you're dating someone and you're a female dating a male, and you say, were you attracted to Topanga and he's under the age of 40 and he says no, he cheats on you. That's just, he's lying to you.
Well, the thing that gets me too, and I don't know if you get this too, is like, it's like I mentioned, like Devin Sawa is like doing movies all of a sudden. Like he had fell out after.
Yeah.
But like, to me, like, yeah, to the point of like how important Topanga was to boys like me growing up. I don't understand why she didn't have like more opportunities after. Like, why didn't she pop up in movies and things?
I don't know. And they have a really wonderful podcast, which sounds really disgusting. Let me just backtrack.
Yeah.
Not cool that anyone was fantasizing about a teenage girl.
Yeah.
But we were young teenagers. Yeah. So this was in our wheelhouse. And I'm very well aware that there are predators out there who also fetishize and sexualize Topanga.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is Danielle Fishel was a pinnacle of sexual peakness for this group that we are in. Like, she was beautiful kind and talented and naturally gorgeous and just all these things that everyone wanted to be. Man, female, it did not matter.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. And she was so wonderful on screen and off.
Yeah.
So I think that made it feel a little more approachable. But I will say, the podcast that she has with Ryder Strong and
Will Friedle.
And Will Friedle, it's really wonderful. Yeah. And I have not, I've listened to some middle episodes, but I wonder if I listen to the beginning episodes if I get an answer.
Yeah.
Because she was sexualized very fucking young. Very young.
Well, here's the thing I was going to throw out there, too. I was like, you know, for you and I, when we were growing up, these actors, these were the same. We were kids and they were kids. Right. So like, and so the way I look at it, it's like it's the same, you know, the way when we talk about this, like, oh, wow, I had a crush on it. It's like the same thing of like seeing a girl in class and being like, oh, wow, 100%. Like, I think she's pretty. I have a crush on her kind of thing. Right.
Hello.
You're kids.
Ladybugs. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We talked
the awakening
about that.
For me.
Oh. But to your point, and like all this stuff we've learned from like the documentary Quiet on Set, right, which came out between our seasons here, like there's a difference between like, and I was going to say that about this too, is like there's a difference between where it's we can have crushes on these kids playing kids, like on those versus
we
like
are the, kids watching
right,
kids
versus the adults in the room who are writing what these kids are going to do in the situations they're going to be in. That's the difference.
That's really good.
How did this episode get so serious? Why do we?
I don't know, but I will say that the Family Matters trope, the universe, the whole thing that it created.
Mm-hmm.
So many shows after that tried to recreate, even to this day.
Yeah.
Do you feel this way? And this is a big hill to die on. Yeah. And I know that we're way over, but it's a special, so it can be longer than an hour. But the hill I'm willing to die on is I miss the in-studio sitcom with a live audience.
Yeah.
The acceptable corniness, all of that stuff you kind of just do. And I think shows here and there try to do it. Mom with, what's her name? She used to be married to. Yes. Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
And Allison Janney, they tried to do it right. Live studio audience. Yeah. Like I just like miss that excitement of tuning into a show every day at the same time live to watch it. We don't have to do that anymore. And I am the biggest purveyor of streaming things.
Yeah.
I'll wait. I pay for Hulu Live and I will still wait for the next day to watch something on Hulu.
Yeah.
It does not make sense, but I do.
Yeah, there's no more like appointment viewing except for like sports. Like that's one thing people show up for. And like award shows and things.
Yeah.
We can all like X or about, I don't know the hell people post stuff anymore. But yeah, like it's just whatever you can watch together is just limited to the things that have to be watched together. Although, and by the time you listen to this, I have no idea where it'll be. But like the actor, John Mulaney, is doing a special on Netflix that's like going to just be streaming like in real time. You have to like tune in at 8.
No
7
way.
Central.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When?
I don't know. Sometime in May.
Okay. Well, we'll be there.
So it'll be, then we'll have to do an episode about it. So
I do, again, we've talked about all the things I romanticize. One of them is this time in television.
Yeah.
Sitting down and knowing that you had a 2-hour block of just prime, I don't know, humanity. It felt like you were just like a normal person for two hours.
It was the same thing in Very Smart of Them that Nickelodeon did on Saturday nights where it was like SNCC.
With SNCC,
It felt like, oh, this is like a block of programming for me and my friends. It was like it was the water cooler talk for kids where you'd be like, oh, did you watch Family Matters on Friday or
speaking
Full
of
House?
SNCC, did you ever feel like the poor kid because you didn't get the Nickelodeon magazine?
I had the first issue of the Nickelodeon magazine.
No.
But to be clear, my
you rich son of a bitch.
We no, not at all. And we saw it at like ShopRite, and my mom bought it for me because I asked. And it was like the inaugural.
I thought this show was good.
And it was it was that, and it had on the cover or inside was Jim Carrey for Ace Ventura.
Mask? Oh, no, Ace Ventura.
Which is even crazier to me because it was still like the first movie, and the first movie was like PG-13 and like filled with sexual innuendo and stuff. And it was like, we didn't care. It was like, oh, this is funny for kids too. Sure. Cool. Throw it at them. It's like, there's a whole sex scene. Ah, whatever, kids, PG-13.
Now for you with like that whole time in your life, you know how like people are always like, oh, you're chasing the good times, chasing the good times. I loved high school. Big high school fan.
Yeah.
I know not, you are not. I'm very aware of that.
No.
But like just this time, if you could pick like a TV time, to me, this is as good as it fucking got.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The 90s.
Yes.
90, 91 to like 97.
Can I tell you something?
What I'll forget. Yeah.
Can I tell you something that I discovered over the last couple months?
Yes.
There is a name for an aesthetic there's an aesthetic that we lived in the 90s. Like think of a Borders bookstore, right?
Stop. That's porn to me. Keep going. Keep talking.
There's a design style, and I'm going to send it to you. And if you're listening,
right,
look
now,
this up.
You're doing it
now. It's called Fraser Bane. Right. And the whole point to the aesthetic is that it's, you know, that style for like the way Fraser's apartment was designed, which looked like the inside of a Borders books, and like the way design things were back then. It's a combination of like Fraser. And then I forget what the other thing it's mashing together. I'm sure there's going to be like architecture nerds who are going to like yell at me for not understanding what I was saying, but it's, I'm going to send it to you so you can see it, but just Google the term Fraser Burn. And you'll find, but like it brought up so many memories and things where I was like, oh my God, I remember that like design aesthetic, like the cover of your books from school had this, or like magazines, or like you go again.
Oh dear God, it makes me uncomfortable.
It like rubs, it's like a little like brain massage for me where I'm like, oh my God, it's like the Encarta 95 CD I'd plug into my first computer. Like, and like all the aesthetic.
I think about Encarta and games I used to play on my parents' computer all the time. My sister and I, you know, like you have those like very niche games that you never talk about to anyone else other than a sibling who also had to play those games.
Yeah.
We have so many when it comes to like CD-ROM in your parents' house. We had this game called Space Dude my mom bought at a computer fair.
Yeah.
Fairgrounds. And we were so obsessed with it. Nobody ever knew what we were talking about. And it becomes one of those things. I'm like, I know that my sisters have my back because we all played Space Dude together.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Also, the article that I just pulled up, it's uncomfortable how accurate it is.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how to describe the aesthetic of what it is, but like, it just rubs like something. It's like, oh, like it puts me in a place of like, and it's really funny. I had this conversation with the guy who cuts my hair, my barber, yesterday.
Okay.
Talking about what generation I'm in. And I'm like, oh, I'm the Xennial generation.
You're not, though. You're a millennial.
No. Let me have this.
You're a millennial.
Let me have this. I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm by definition. I'm both. I'm a part of this.
You cannot. If people get mad at me for being bisexual, you can't be bi.
Who's mad at you for being bisexual?
White men. I don't know.
Oh, that's hunky Tony. It's not. Anyway. That's not me.
Oh, that was so good.
It's a micro generation of people who grew up where we started school and I learned how to type on a typewriter. Big clunk, 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 ching, like that whole thing. That's a typewriter sound, by the way, just in case.
By the way, Xennials are categorized as 1977 to 1983. Millennials, like yourself, were born between 1991 and 1996.
Okay, two things.
1981, I apologize.
Okay, God. See, all right, so number one, there is crossover. Number two, the whole 1983 thing, it's a little vague. No.
Crossover 2 to 3 years. You're still not in that group.
84.
You are so a millennial. I know that you want to be a Xennial so fucking bad. As your friend, I know this about you, but you're a millennial.
But how do you
are what
you
they call
it?
An elder millennial.
Elder millennial, otherwise known as a Xennial. Okay.
No! You little bitch.
But what's really funny is, yeah, it's this micro. I don't know where I was going with it. But anyway,
who cares?
The whole Fraser Bane thing. It's like warm sepia tones, black and white images, like. And apparently, the whole way this comes from, it was the baby boomer generation that we love to hate now. growing up and trying to make what they believed was like high fashion things, which was just combining like wood aesthetic and things that from like when they grew up to like a pseudo modern thingy that looked like a, you know, museum or something. But anyway, that created that whole aesthetic we had for the 90s. And I'm like, I see things like that. I'm like, oh my God, like I want to design my apartment like that and just like bring me back. Cause like, it's like a warm hug.
It really is. And yeah. like, even just the colors, they're so gross.
Yeah.
They don't go.
Yeah.
Like no. in today's universe, they don't belong there, but yeah. man, are they comforting?
It's like, it is an orange filter on everything.
That orange beige. Yeah. Oh God. Everything, everything in the world.
Yeah, but I think that's also why like people watch old episodes of Frasier. They're like, oh, it takes me to like this calm place of, you know.
We haven't done Frasier. How is that possible?
Baby, the blues are cold.
Hibba-dabba was scrambled, eh?
Oh, man. All right.
Can we just, the new show, be Amanda and Tommy trying to sing theme songs? Because this episode is brought to you by Amanda and Tommy singing theme songs on drugs.
I tried creating a theme song for us using AI.
I laughed so hard. The Disney Channel one? Maybe yeah. if you guys join our Patreon, we'll share them with you. But
yeah, it was funny to me because it was like, oh, this sounds like a straight up like I need it to be lower quality because I can almost hear me just trying to like flick the channels and bypass yeah. the cable box and try to see if I can get the Disney Channel or other channels.
The black box. And yeah. you're like, I need the Friday night fights.
No, worse. My family eventually paid for cable. So then if I wanted the premium channels, I had to like disconnect it from the back of the box, plug it directly into the TV and then just like mess with the knob until
you get Skinamax
channels. Yeah. Well, eventually. Yeah.
Same. And also the Friday Night Fights is the only reason we even had them. Cause my grandfather was a boxer. He won the Golden Gloves in New York twice. Yeah. Thank you very much. And he used to watch the Friday Night Fights. So he would always buy us new black boxes and it would always be like, I need the Friday Night Fights. And we would scroll through and it was just like boobs, boobs, staticky yeah. boobs, more boobs, boobs, boobs.
How old were you?
Oh, the good old days. Well, back to Family Matters. Winslow.
Yeah.
Laura Winslow, Eddie Winslow.
Yeah. Justice for all of them.
If you ever need representation in the court of law,
I just say
we are not the people for you, but we will find the people for you.
G.L. White, allegedly a terrible person on set.
I'd love to have him on. I'd love to discuss it. I'd love to have him on. No, I wouldn't. I'd probably end up nice to him. Let's not have him on. Let's ignore that. Jaleel, you're not coming out. I'm so sorry. On that.
In the opening credits for seasons 5 through 9. So episodes from season 5, G.L. White was the only regular whose character name appeared alongside his own during the opening credits.
No.
Yeah.
That's not real.
It was G.L. White as Steve Urkel.
This guy's got to go, dude.
It was a novelty dance. It was the Urkel dance. You remember?
Yeah, I do remember. Okay. So you know what, guys? Mm-hmm. Watch Family Matters and take our side. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Almost. Our new season's almost coming out. We won't be this.
Wait, did you know this?
Oh, my God.
In the Family Matters episode, Beauty and the Beast, Steve sends a chain letter to his friend Corey Matthews in Philadelphia.
I'm gonna fuck it.
He was maybe if I write a letter, they'll let me come on that show too.
I hate him more just by every minute that you open your mouth. Okay, so the moral of this episode is this is not a Steve Urkel fan cast.
Yeah. Also, a perfect way to end this. I think this is a perfect way to say it. I don't know where you get it, but there is from G.L. White his own cannabis brand. It's a strain called Purple Urkel. You can get it.
I will be trying that. Thank you. And on that note, goodbye.
Bye, guys. Bye.